In Romans 12, 1 through 2, we are reminded that we are not alone in this journey. God is the one who transforms the way we think. One of the ways that God does that is by asking the right questions, often tough questions, even questions we'd prefer to ignore, but they are critical questions. His questions are like windows to the mind. How are you thinking?
Good morning. Hey, my name is Michael. If I've not got a chance to meet you yet, I'm one of the pastors here, and I would love to meet you in the commons afterwards. Let me catch you up. Last week, we started a new series all about right thinking. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at the questions that God comes and asks to mankind. And here's what we learned about God asking questions, right? So let's have a little participation. Does God ask questions because he doesn't know the answer? No, God asks questions, and we discovered this last week, because he wants us to know the answer. So every single question that we encounter from God is about God getting us to think, about God getting us to reflect. So is thinking important in the scriptures? Absolutely. The book of Proverbs says, help me out, as a man thinketh, so he is, right? And the New Testament even points to it in Romans. It tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So the Bible is clear on the power and on the importance of thinking for you and for me. Last week, we unpacked the question, where are you? And this week, we're looking at a different question. Here's the question this week. What is your name? What is your name? Anybody else in the room grew up in the 90s watching wrestling? Anybody? Show of hands. My people, this is about to be fun. Hey, when I was growing up in the 90s, Thursday nights were reserved because something was coming on that I had to see. It was WWE SmackDown, right? Let me introduce you to some people that I grew up watching, and if you know some noises that they make, there we go. We got Ric Flair. We got The Rock, right? I don't care what your name is. We got Rey Mysterio, the Masked Wonder. The Undertaker, Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan. And my personal favorite, we got Kurt Angle, okay? So every Thursday night, we would watch wrestling. I would watch wrestling until wrestling died at my house, okay? But Thursday nights was fun at my house. We enjoyed it. And me and Cliff, man, Cliff is a huge wrestling fan, and we've actually talked about starting a wrestling league here at the church. Wouldn't that be awesome? Now, let me tell you how that would go. I would do the announcing, and Cliff would do the wrestling, right? So if you're interested, we'll have a QR code later on to come up, and you can sign up to do that. But let me tell you about when wrestling died at my house. I was, you know, just got done watching wrestling, and guys, help me out. When we watch wrestling and after we're done watching it, what do we want to do? I want to practice it, right? Like, I want to see if we can do this. So Kurt Angle's there, and he made somebody tap, put him in the ankle lock, and I decided as a 10-year-old, well, I just think I might try that out. And well, there was my little sister. She was 6. Put her in the ankle lock, and boy, I had it in tight. I mean, I was yelling at her, tap, tap, and she wouldn't tap. And wrestling died at my house that night because she wasn't going anywhere, but when my mom walked in the room, boy, I was going somewhere. You know what I'm saying? So wrestling died at my house that night. If you're here today and you're a younger sibling or a younger cousin, I'd like to apologize to you for growing up, having to put up with everybody putting you in submissions in the wrestling moves. We are sorry. We should not have done that, so we're sorry. Hey, this morning I want to invite you and me to be spectators in what I believe is one of the weirdest wrestling matches of all time. Today we're looking at the story where God comes and he wrestles a man named Jacob. And in the middle of wrestling Jacob, God asks the question, "What is your name?" That seems super strange to me because if I'm going to wrestle somebody, like if I'm going to fight with somebody, I at least want to know who they are. But remember, God does not ask questions because he doesn't know the answer. God asks questions to get us to think. Let me fill you in on a little bit of Jacob's story that's going to make the rest of the story make sense. Everybody say twins. Jacob was a twin. He had a twin brother named Esau. And we know from the scriptures that Esau was born first, and Esau's a little bit different. I like to call him Big Red, okay? The Bible says that he came out red and hairy. And then after Esau comes out, the Bible says that Jacob comes out next, and Jacob is holding the heel of his brother as Jacob comes out of the womb. And here's the thing about these two brothers. They could not be more different. Anybody got a sibling and you and them, you're just different? I mean, you're just real different. Hey, listen, it is biblical. It's okay, right? Esau grows up to be He-Man, right? Like he's hunting, he's fishing, he's loving every day. That's Esau's story. And Jacob, he could not be more different. Jacob wants to watch Cupcake Wars. I mean, he wants to be in the kitchen. He's talking about cleaning products, okay? He is a at-home kind of guy. And both of those are fine sometimes. But they couldn't be more different. But Jacob is a trickster. See, back then, Jacob actually steals two things from his brother. And we know this, right? And if you don't know, I'm helping you remember. Jacob steals the birthright, which is 66% of the estate. That's what the oldest son would have gotten in the Old Testament. So Jacob steals that. And then Jacob steals the blessing, what the father would verbally pronounce as prophecy over the kids. Michael, how'd he do that? Well, the time was drawing near, and he said, hey, it's time for me to pronounce a blessing. So he told Esau, go and prepare my favorite meal. Isaac's wife is there, hears him say this, and she puts Jacob right in line to steal it. She says, listen, I'm going to cook the food. You take this goat's hair, put it on your arm. You go in from your father. You pretend to be Esau, and you take the blessing. And there, Jacob goes and he stands and he says, here I am, Dad. I'm here for the blessing. Here's your favorite meal. And his dad says, it's the voice of Jacob, but it's the hands and the arms of Esau. And in the middle of this dispute, in the middle of Jacob trying to figure out who this is, he says, what is your name, my son? That is going to be very important in just a moment. But Jacob steals the birthright. Jacob steals the blessing. And as any older brother would do when a younger sibling steals something that's yours, you say these words, I'm going to kill you, right? That's what we do. That's who we are. Except this time, Esau really means it. He really means, I'm going to kill you. After Dad is dead and after everybody's done crying about him, I'm coming for you and I'm going to kill you, Jacob. And Jacob knows he's serious. So Jacob runs away. He runs away, and he goes and lives with a man named Laban. Everybody say Laban. Hey, there's a reason why you don't know anybody in your personal life named Laban. Laban's a bad dude, okay? Laban is going to give Jacob everything he's ever sown. Jacob's going to spend the next 20 years being lied to, being tricked, having wife swap on him. I mean, it is a horrible, horrendous story. And at the end of those 20 years, Jacob decides, I will leave. I'm running away. I'm returning. And here's what happens. Laban meets him. He catches up to him. And the Lord tells Laban, do not do anything to Jacob. Don't harm him. Don't talk nasty to him. I'm going to deal with him. So Laban leaves. And as soon as Laban leaves, word comes to Jacob through a servant that, hey, your brother knows you're coming. And there are 400 men coming along with Esau for you. Now, I don't know about you, but that just went from bad to worse real quick. And the passage that we find ourselves in today is this. Jacob hears word that his brother's coming, and he divides his family into two groups. And he says, you be over here, and you be over here. And if Esau's men come and kill this portion of the family, you guys run. I'm going to go talk to Esau and see if I can work this out. So Jacob is alone. Jacob is desperate. And Jacob does not know what to do. And this is where the passage starts this morning. Hey, this morning, very simply, I want to show you three lessons that God is going to teach Jacob in this encounter. This morning, I want to teach you three things that God is going to teach Jacob in this encounter. Hey, do me a favor. Maybe you're new here. Maybe Maybe you just don't know me. I'm weird, okay? So put your hand on the person next to you. I want you to pray over them. I want you to pray over yourself. And here's what I want you to pray. God, speak, and I will listen. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name. And God, we're asking, we're begging that you would speak today, Father, and so that we would listen. God, your word says that you are the vine and that we are the branches and that we can do nothing without you. And God, we admit that publicly here today, this morning, that if you do not come and you do not speak, nothing will be accomplished. But God, if you do come and you do speak, you can do a mighty work. So God, we pray that as we read your word, as we study it, as we learn these lessons for Jacob, that you might speak so clearly to us and that you would give us the ability to listen to what it is that you want to tell us today. I ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Hey, in the Bible in front of you or behind you, we're on page 22. Page 22. Our text today comes from Genesis 32, and we're going to read verses 24 through 31, and then we're really going to hang out on verse 27. Okay? Say, I'm ready if you're ready. Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 through 31 says this. This left Jacob all alone in the camp. And a man came, and he wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. And when the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. And then the man said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. What is your name? The man asked. He replied, Jacob. Your name will no longer be Jacob, the man told him. From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won. And Jacob said, please tell me your name. Why do you want to know my name? The man replied. And then he blessed Jacob there, and Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been spared. And the sun was rising on Jacob as he left Peniel, and he was limping because of the injury to his hip. Our focus today is verse 27 of that passage. What is your name? It's all about the question that God comes and asks Jacob. And God is not asking Jacob the question because God doesn't know. God is asking the question because he wants Jacob to know something. He wants Jacob to know this, and this is point number one. Jacob, I know who you are. I know who you are. Think about this. It's in the middle of the night, it is dark, and here is God point blank telling Jacob through the question, where are you? That Jacob, I know who you are. Michael, why in the world does God ask Jacob this question? And that is a great question. Hey, do me a favor. Let's go back down, just back a little bit in Jacob's story. When is the last time that Jacob came to someone and demanded a blessing and they asked Jacob the question, who are you, my son? Did that just happen? It happened 20 years ago in Jacob's story. And God is saying, Jacob, if you want a blessing for me, we're going to have to talk about what you did 20 years ago. We're going to have to talk about who you are. Because the last time you demanded a blessing from someone, you lied. And everything that's going on in your life is a repercussion of you lying about who you are. So now I'm here, Jacob, and I'm asking you the question, who are you? What is your name? This question is meant to get Jacob to think, to reflect about the question. And here's what Jacob means as a name. Names are important in the Old Testament. I don't know if you know what your name means. I don't know what my name means. But I know what a lot of biblical name means. Y'all tell me this, if Jacob lived up to his name. Jacob's name means trickster. It means deceiver. It means heel grabber. He's lived up to his name for the past couple decades. And here's what I want you to see that God is trying to tell Jacob. God is telling him, Jacob, I know who you are, but it's time for you to own who you are. And here's the point. Some of us are really good at hiding who we really are. Let me just talk to your heart of hearts for a moment. You might have your family fooled about who you are. You might have your coworkers fooled about who you are. But there is one that you will never have fooled about who you are. God Almighty looks down at humankind and he really knows who we are. Y'all, we've gotten so good at faking who we are and pretending who we are. You know something that baffles me about social media? I've never seen a picture of a family in social media that really depicts what I know that family's life is like. Like, we don't pose for a picture and me tell Reuben and Remy, hey, turn your inner terrorist on and let's take a family picture. That'd be too real. Oh no, we're going to take the picture 800 times and everybody's going to be looking and everybody's going to be smiling and our hands are going to be in the right place. We're really good at portraying what we think everybody wants to see. Let me tell you something. God really knows who we are. And ladies, let me help you. And men, I'm going to help you in just a moment. Ladies, can I tell you that I have learned what the two most dangerous words that you can say are? You know what they are? Let me help you. I'm fine. Oh, y'all laughing because you know it's true. Hey, gentlemen, if those words come out of your wives' mouths, you need to run into that room and be there and be present. She is not fine. That is a lie. Ladies, let me help you. We are not mind readers. Can I get an amen? Y'all all scared. There we go. There we go. I'm getting ready to get to you fellas. Don't worry. Hey, when I hear Lena say those words, maybe it's to me, maybe it's on the phone, maybe it's to the kids, maybe it's to her mom. Hey, listen, my antennas go up and I'm going right there. And I'm going to be right there and I'm going to say, hey, you good? And here's my rule. I'm not leaving the room till she says she's good until she leaves the room, okay? If they say I'm fine, you need to know it's a lie. We're really good at lying about who we are. Fellas, you know what we say when everything's going bad and we're drowning? We think, this is it. I'm going to die. This is it. Getting ready to have a heart attack. You know what we tell people? Two words. What are they? I'm good. That's the guy's lie. I'm good. I'm all right. I'm good, fellas. You're not good. If you say that you're good, you've just lied to yourself and everybody else. Ladies, I'm trying to help you guys. I'm trying to help some marriages today. When you hear those two words, I'm fine and I'm good, something's up. You better run towards the problem. Figure it out. Hey, we're really good at hiding what's going on and hiding who we are. But God knows who we really are. God knows how we really feel. And here's Jacob's reality, and here's most of our reality. Jacob's reality is that his life is completely out of control. Completely out of control. And really, if we're truthful with ourselves, there's part of our lives that are out of control. Michael, how do you know that, and how can you make such a statement to say that my life is out of control? Did you know there's a reason why we're all so busy? I know. We're busy because we really got stuff going on. But did you know that some of us, I'm talking about me here, actually like to be busy? Because you know what happens when I'm busy, right? I can run from reality. I don't have to face whatever it is that I don't want to face. I can just continue to be busy. And busyness can turn into a literal addiction for us so that we don't actually have to ask and answer the question, who am I? What am I doing? Jacob's life is out of control. So this whole experience of Jacob being left alone in this camp, it is God orchestrated for him to say, hey, bud, we got to have a talk. And in this talk, he reveals to Jacob, I know who you really are. I don't know about you, but most of the time, I'm just being honest with you, when I see people that are in a mess of a problem, most of the time my first instinct is not to run to it. Most of the time I want to turn the other way and avoid it, right? Hey, that ain't God. God sees a mess and he goes, mm-mm, I'm coming right towards it. I want to help it. I want to fix it. Point number one that he's trying to get Jacob to see is, I know who you are. But Jacob, do you know who you are? See, when Jacob says, my name is Jacob, he's not just admitting his name, friend. He's admitting who he really is. I'm Jacob. I'm the trickster. I'm the deceiver. I'm the manipulator. I am the liar. And after Jacob says that, God says this. This is the second thing that I want to show you. Read with me Genesis 32, verse 28. Here's what God does. Your name will no longer be Jacob, the man told him. From now on, you will be called Israel because you have fought with God and with men and have won. And here's point number two. Jacob, I know who I created you to be. I know who I created you to be. Once Jacob admits who he really is, then God reveals who it is that God created him to be. And he says, hey, no longer is your name going to be Jacob. You're not going to be marked as being a trickster, as a deceiver, a manipulator, a liar. I'm giving you a new name, son. And that new name is Israel. Remember I told you that names were important? Hey, Jacob's name means all those things. You know what Israel means? Israel means to be triumphant with God, to have victory because of God. Hey, here's what I know about Jacob's life. If we were to look inside of Jacob's life before this moment, before this wrestling match with God, and ask the question, is Jacob a successful man? To a T, we would all say, yes, he's a successful man. He's got a large, growing family. He's got more wealth than he knows what to do with. We would look at it and say, he's a successful man. But you know what God would look at it and say? You didn't achieve it with me, so you didn't do it for me, and it doesn't count. He's about to turn Jacob's whole life around and say, I'm about to teach you what it is to work with me, and then you'll be triumphant with me. God tells Jacob, I know who you are, but he also says, I know exactly who I've created you to be. Name changes in the Bible are important. They're destiny defining over and over and over again in the scriptures. There's Abram into Abraham, the father of nations. There's Simon into Peter, the rock on which I will build this church. There's Saul to Paul, the greatest missionary that ever was. Name changes in the Bible indicate a shift in someone's destiny. He says, I'm going to name you Israel because you've fought with God and with men and you have won. Hey, can I just tell you something? I'm about to tell you how Jacob won the wrestling match with God. And this is so important because this is where we mess up. We think it's about strength. Jacob did not win the wrestling match with God because he was stronger. The Bible says that in the middle of the match, the angel goes, yeah, this is going on a little too long for what I want it to, so I'm just going to touch his hip. And what happens when he touches his hip? Comes out of socket. Hey, you ever had any hip pain before? Hey, I started running again about 2 weeks ago, and then I stopped. It's horrible. I mean, you wake up, and you're like, what is going on? What is this? Touches his hip and the hip comes out of place. And that's not even when the wrestling match stopped. The Bible says that when the wrestling match stopped is when Jacob finally said, my name is Jacob. So how did he win the wrestling match with God? He surrendered. He said, okay, God, this is who I am. My name is Jacob. Let me help you. Some of you are wrestling with the Lord right now, and he is waiting on one thing, you to wave your white flag. Because here's the reality, he's right, and you're wrong. And let me tell you something about our Lord. He is perfectly fine to hold you down and let you suffer until you surrender. Cry uncle, get it over with. Say the words, God, you were right, I was wrong, I surrender. Michael, that doesn't really sound like a loving God, someone who would let me suffer until I surrender. Friend, that is exactly what a loving God would do. The book of Hebrews says that the Lord disciplines those who he loves. Hey, when my kids are being terrorists, you know what I do? I discipline them. Because my job as a parent is not to raise kids that love me. My job as a parent is to raise kids that other people want to love and pour into. They're not going to live at my house forever. So I got to discipline them the same way that the Lord disciplines those who he loves. Y'all help me out on this. Let's play a little fill in the blank. In Jacob's story, if anyone needed a fresh start, who was it? Oh my gosh, y'all are worse than the students. Come on! In Jacob's story, if anyone needed a fresh start, it's Jacob. Hey, listen to this. In Jacob's story, if anybody didn't deserve a fresh start, it's Jacob. And here's what's so wild to me. God comes to Jacob, not out of Jacob's goodness, not out of Jacob's righteousness, but God comes to Jacob out of his own goodness, in his own righteousness. And he says, I see who you are, and I know who I created you to be, and I love you enough that I'm not satisfied to let you remain here. I gotta tell you something about you. You were created with a purpose in mind. Here's most of our problems. We're here. This is who I am. But God intended for us to be here. And there's a huge gap. And we never even look at what God intended for us to be. We never even try to move in that direction. And God is trying to teach Jacob, who you are and what your life is looking like is not at all what I had planned for you. God wants to show him, I've got something new for you. So he changes his name from Jacob to Esau. And aren't you glad that we serve a God who comes to us, not because of our goodness, not because of our faithfulness, but he comes to us to change us because of his goodness and his faithfulness. And Jacob is about to experience that. Friend, God knows exactly who God created you to be in spite of who you are right now in this very moment. He knows who it is, and he is pulling you and me in that direction. Hey, let me show you the third thing that the Lord is trying to teach Jacob. I want to go back just for a moment in time. So remember, Jacob steals the blessing from his brother Esau. Esau says, I'm going to kill you, and then what does Jacob do? He runs away. And I want to read you a scripture, and I just want you to think about this, okay? Everybody say, the son. Read this with me and just think about this. Hold it in your mind. Here's what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 and 11. And Jacob left Beersheba, and he went towards Haran, and he came to a certain place, and he stayed there that night because the sun had set. So get this, hear this. Jacob makes a horrible decision. He runs for his life, and the biblical author gives us the picture that the sun is setting as Jacob gets there. You know, the very next time that the sun is even mentioned in Jacob's story? It's been decades, and the sun's not mentioned at all until the morning that he has a wrestling match with God. And look what the biblical author says. Genesis 32, verses 30 through 31, because I want to show you this. Then Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. Listen to this. And the sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. It is almost as if the biblical author is trying to put two opposites in front of you to get you and me to understand that God is giving Jacob a new day. The sun sets on his life, showing darkness and bad decisions. And after he does business with God, now the sun is rising on him. Do you see that? Do you understand that? Hey, do you know what these mean? These are all over our church. Like on everything that we have, we show these things. Can I show you what they are? Do you know what that is? First service didn't know. I'm going to give you a hint. Starts with an L, ends with logo. It's a logo. What is our logo? What is it? It's a sun. Hey, it's a sun because we believe what the scriptures say here at New Work, that God can do a new work and bring a new day and a new beginning in your life. And that's the third thing that God is trying to teach Jacob. Jacob, I am the God of new beginnings. I am the God of new beginnings. Friend, I don't know all of your stories. I don't know all of your names. But I do know this. Maybe, just maybe, God brought you to Newark today so that he might begin to show himself as the God of new beginning in your life. And he's saying, hey, will you come and will you experience me, and I will do a new work in you. When Jacob is wrestling with this man, he tells him, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Everybody say, bless me. Hey, we ask God to bless all kinds of stuff. God, bless my kids. Help them go to sleep right now or I'm going to lose my mind. Right? God, help my attitude. It's horrible. Would you bless me? God, would you bless my finances? God, would you bless Thanksgiving meal? Y'all, there ain't no reason to pray that the Lord would bless Thanksgiving meal. It's already blessed twice. Eat it, right? Get them deviled eggs. Only have one till everybody's had one. Y'all kill me with that. I'm venting. I'm sorry. We ask God to bless all kinds of stuff. Let me tell you something. The biggest blessing that the Lord will bring into your life is the blessing of a new beginning. A new beginning. And that's what he's doing here with Jacob, this man who will now be called Israel. And let me give you a practical exercise that I want you to do as you leave here today. As you leave here today and as you're pulling out, you're going to look to the left, as long as you're pulling out on the right lane, one-way traffic, y'all, okay? You're going to look to the left and you're going to see a sign with service times, and on that sign there's going to be a logo of a sun. Here's what I want you to do before you leave the premises. I want you to stop the car. I want you to stop the car, and I want you to look at that logo, and I want you to pray that the Lord would bring a new beginning to every single person in your vehicle by name. Pray over them. Pray over yourself. Because here's what I know. Here's what I know from studying scriptures. Here's what I know from talking to people. If I could just show you everything that I want to show you in this one passage with one sentence, it's this. God will bring the blessing of new beginning if I will bring my brokenness. Let me say that one more time for people in the back. God will bring the blessing of new beginning if I will bring my brokenness. God radically changes Jacob's life in a moment because Jacob brings the brokenness of himself to the table and says, this is who I am, God. And you know what God does? God responds with two words, beautiful words, no longer. See, that's what God does with our brokenness when we bring it to him and we say it, when we call it by name and say, this is broken inside of me. The potter takes the clay and he fixes it. He is the God of new beginnings. And it all started with a question that he asked Jacob, what is your name? Who are you really? Can I get super personal with you today? If God was to ask you that question today, and it's a digging question, it's a probing question, let's really get down to the tax of who you are, how would you answer that, and would your answer lead you to a new beginning? Hey, my name is, and I'm a gossip. You know what God would say? About time. You're ruining people's lives. You're ruining people's reputations. About time you admit it. Hey, my name is, and I'm a liar. God would say, I know. No surprise here. You ain't lied to me. You ain't fooled me. Hey, my name is, and I'm an addict. I have an issue. Hey, my name is, and I'm a glutton. Michael, we're not supposed to talk about that. Friend, the Lord talks about it. Hey, my name is, and I'm an adulterer. I mean, if God really asked you the question today, and if you were really honest, what is your name? Who are you really? Would your answer lead you to a new beginning? Because I believe that's what God wants to do, is bring new beginning and new life to his people. You ever heard about somebody that supposedly got their life turned around, changed their life. And maybe you're like me, right? I'm a conspiracy theorist. I'm a skeptic, right? And I might ask the question, did they really change? You ever done that before? Come on now. Okay, just me. I'll be the one. All right, just me and Brandon. Appreciate you. Okay? I mean, I ask that question all the time. Are you serious? Did they really change? I mean, are they really different? You know what I was realizing this week? As I thought about that question, you know where that question comes from? That question comes from a deep-rooted belief in my heart. When I hear about somebody else changing their life, that maybe I doubt that I could even change my life. That question is a reflection of what we believe about us. We're not saying, did they really change and we can't believe it because it's them. We're saying, did they really change because we don't believe that we can really change. And can I give you some really good news? The Bible says that there's one who sits on the throne, and he says this, behold, I am making all things new. Jesus Christ sits on the throne right now, and his desire and what he will do is make all things new, and he wants you to be a perfect part of that plan. And the one who said, I can make all things new, the one who can take Jacob from being a Jacob to Israel is the same God that here today has the ability to ask you the question, who are you? And you make the decision, I will bring my brokenness and he will bless your socks off with a new beginning. I want to close with this, and our band is coming to lead us in worship as we think and reflect about the question that God has asked us. And can I share with you what right now what my biggest burden is as one of the people who get to be your pastors? What my biggest burden is for our students right now? Hey, my biggest burden right now is that right now in the room across all of the services that we have is that there are people that God has called to be Israel's and who will choose right now and for the rest of their life, I will remain a Jacob. That there are people who would willingly say, God, I know you have this in store for my life, but I'm choosing this instead. And God, say something. God literally changes the world because of Jacob. He changes literally the whole tribe of Israel because of this man named Jacob. Not because of anything that he did other than bring his brokenness to God. How many times have you guys heard us say things, or maybe you've said things like, man, I hope God brings revival to Hopkinsville. You ever thought that? You ever said that? You ever prayed for that? Yeah, me too, man. And here's what I know. Here's what I feel. Maybe the reason why he hadn't done it out there is because he wants to do it in here. Maybe he wants his people to be serious about him and about who he says he is and about who he's called him to be. Listen to me, don't be a person who God has called to be more, called to be a changer, and say, I'm going to remain a Jacob. So today, this morning, how would you answer that question? What is your name? Who are you really? I want to encourage you as we get ready to sing and worship for you to do business with God and for you to pretend that God has just asked you that question. And maybe, just maybe, God will bring a new beginning to your life as we bring brokenness to him this morning. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. God, we're thankful for your scriptures, for your word, how it's living and active, and how it changes us. God, thank you that you're a God who can really change people. You're a God who really sees us just as we are, and yet, God, you also see us exactly as who you created us to be, and you are determined to close the gap if we will be in our brokenness. God, I pray for my friends all around the room right now who feel broken. God, would you help them to bring their brokenness right now, and would you grant us new beginnings all across the room? We ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.